could write a book about the way you walk and whisper and look. I could write a preface on how we met, so the world would never forget. And
celebrating 15 years as the voice of the community, this is Word Radio, 96.1 FM WURD and 900 AM WURD, Philadelphia. Black Talk Media. The views and opinions expressed by the guests, listeners, and hosts of any program on Word Radio do not necessarily reflect those of ownership, management, or advertisers of this station.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Chris Murray Report on WURD. Man, we, as always, have a lot to cover today. We're going to be talking Sixers, Eagles, and anything you want to talk today, anything you want to talk about, because we got a lot going on this week. First of all, the Eagles are coming off a loss to those hated Dallas Cowboys. I'm still trying to figure out, and by the way, my producer's in the studio, Jordan Booth, is with me for another week. Jordan, good to have you here today, brother.
Yeah, I feel great being here right now.
Yeah. You know, watching that game on Sunday, I was in the press box, and I'm thinking, you know, I've watched both the Eagles and the Cowboys all year, watched all the NFC East teams. Mm-hmm. I watched earlier in the day, I was watching the Redskins, and, you know, the Redskins, they beat Tampa Bay, but Tampa Bay is awful.
Pretty much, yeah. I'm not really impressed with the Redskins right now.
Yeah, and nobody is. I mean, right. Right now they're living, when they play really good teams, mm-hmm. they're gonna fold, and they've proven that, and they could barely get past those Tampa Bay Bucks.
Right.
I mean, they won the game like something like 16-3, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers blew all kinds of scoring opportunities in that game.
Yeah. And also to mention, too, they lost to the Falcons by a lot.
Yeah.
Who lost to the Steelers by a lot at Pittsburgh.
So
yeah, I'm not really impressed.
Yeah, I'm not really. You can't really be impressed by them but I watched their game last week, and it just seemed like the Eagles could not get out of the way of themselves.
Right.
And it's just that the Cowboys just did. And it wasn't that the Cowboys were all that great the other day. I didn't think that they were. You know, although Ezekiel Elliott had a really good game. I mean, he leaped over an Eagles defender in that game. He just leaped over like he was a hurdle, man.
Yeah.
Like you're watching
a track meet or something.
Yeah, he just leaped over. He just leaped over the guy, and yeah. I'm sitting there like, holy mackerel! You know, this guy is just, you know. This guy is just really just running all over the place. And the Eagles, once again, that slow start killed them. First half, They were 0-4 on third down conversions and had only 132 yards of offense. And, you know, you were thinking last Sunday, Eagles fans, I'm sure, were thinking last Sunday that, okay, after Jacksonville, you had a bye. You know, Eagles tend to do well, at least they did in the Andy Reid era,
right,
when they came off of a bye.
Right, because, like, they're well-rested and all.
They're well-rested, and not only are they well-rested, they, you know, and the Cowboys were really, the Cowboys had a short week losing on Monday night to the Tennessee Titans. So you're thinking, okay, this is a good, if you're an Eagles fan, this is perfect, this is excellent timing. You know, the Eagles try to find, get their mojo back. And everything seemed, all the psychological advantages they had in their favor, they were at home, and they turned in what turned out to be a dud. And Dak Prescott had a good game. Dak Prescott has been struggling all year, but for some reason, but this is what happens when you're the world champions.
That's right.
Everybody, now the Eagles have a lot of devastating injuries this year. Roddy McLeod is out.
Yeah, and Darren Sproles is out two years straight now.
Yeah, Darren Sproles might as well retire at this point, because I don't think he's coming back. I really don't. And also, Ron Darby is out for the year. McLeod is out for the year. So the Eagles last year got away with having a lot of injuries. This year, not so much. And a couple of things that keep emerging out of these games is the fact that I thought in a very real sense that Josh Adams had a really, you know, runs the ball up the middle. He doesn't have to have breakaway speed. Just pound the ball.
Exactly. Just get our first down. That's it.
Yeah,
that's
just pound the football. Just keep the chains moving. I don't need him to make a 100-yard, 80-yard run. I just need him just to keep the chain and to keep the pressure, if you're an Eagles fan, off of Carson Wentz. I mean, that's what he's there for.
Yeah, which is why I'm glad he gets the starting role while J.H.I. is out.
Yeah, and the thing is, it gives Josh Adams, I think he went to Central, I mean, I've been confused, it was Central Bucks North or Central Bucks South. I think he went to Central Bucks South.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, he's a local kid, he's making good, every time he's called on, you know, he runs the ball well. Eagles defensively, I think they got to get after. They got to get after the quarterback. And again, you know, you're going to be rotating a lot of young guys in there at the cornerback slot, at the cornerback spot, because there's another guy out, kid out of LSU. Oh man, I'm having a senior moment. But the thing is that the Eagles really have to get themselves get themselves together, and tomorrow's game, guess who they play tomorrow? Obviously those New Orleans Saints. And the Saints have been no joke this season. They beat the Rams. That is a hard place to play in that Superdome. And the Superdome is a hard place to play because, you know, Drew Brees, I guess, knows all the cracks and crevices of that place, and they just play well.
Yeah, and he's just simply one of the top quarterbacks in the league too.
One of the top quarterbacks of all time.
Yep,
he's got a lot of weapons. You're gonna be seeing a lot of Alvin Kamara. Tomorrow, Michael Thomas has played well.
Yep.
You're going to be seeing a whole lot of that. So this is a critical point of their season. I mean, this is obviously a point of their year where they're going to have to, you know, come together, because right now they could very well miss the playoffs. Now, you know, even though the Redskins, you know, you can say that they're not all that, but at the same time, they're in for right now, they're in first place. Your record, you are what your record is, and they're in first place right now.
Yep.
And whether the Eagles fans want to see that or not is one thing, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it's reality.
It's a reality.
And
the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, and we're a little bit delayed on Facebook, by the way, but the reality is that your team ain't doing well. Your team is not doing well. They're not. Now, across the street from the Link, over in the Wells Fargo Center, you got the Philadelphia 76ers. Last week, and broken on this show by our young crack reporter, Jordan Booth, broken on this show, the Jimmy Butler trade occurred last week. And because the Jimmy Butler trade occurred on this show, not occurred on the show, but I'm just saying that helped. He last night, his home debut, 28 points, mm-hmm. 7 assists, and he played really, really well with the team. And it was a close game. He had an easy layup, as a result of Utah overplaying a play.
Yeah.
But the difference that he's made, the thing is, another thing I've been talking trash about all year was the fact that I felt that it was a mistake that the Sixers traded their number one draft choice. But now that they've got Jimmy Butler, I think they've redeemed themselves a little bit, and so I won't talk about it. I won't mention that anymore. I promise. I promise that I will not mention that again. But because now that they have Jimmy Butler, the guy can score. He's a good defender. What is this noise? The guy's a great defender. Mm-hmm. He can he can do a lot of things,
Yeah. And I like what I'm seeing from Jimmy Butler too. But not only the fact that he can get you buckets, he can play defense, on the court stuff, but off the court, he can actually be a good leader.
Yeah.
Like, he showed it when he was talking to his teammates on the sidelines, showing them what they need to do next time when they get on the court and stuff.
Right.
And he's also pretty honest when it comes to the press.
Yeah, well, and that's true. And the thing is, a lot of people didn't like. And a lot of times when you're on losing teams, mm-hmm. people don't like. It's a funny thing. I want to talk, because later on we're going to talk about Draymond Green with my man Brandon Robinson. We're going to talk about the whole Draymond Green versus Kevin Durant situation, and we're going to talk about that today. That's going to be interesting, because I talk to a lot of Golden State fans, and they say, it's because, Durant is, they blame Durant, Draymond Green, and they got each other's face. People say that you don't have to get along. You don't get along, but right. Sometimes you have. You don't have to get along with a guy to be your teammate, yeah, but
you just have to tolerate them. That's it.
Yeah, you just got to tolerate them, and I think that. A lot of people are saying there are some people around, and I'm going to ask Brandon this when he gets on the show, is that a lot of people have been saying that, Durant's going to be leaving for greener pastures with the, he wants to somehow join your boy LeBron James in Los Angeles to form another super team. I don't know how true that is. We'll find that out later. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to join us today to talk about anything, by the way, last night in boxing, I forgot to mention that Maurice Hooker, and fighting in the junior welterweight category, won his boxing match last night. He's a junior welterweight up and coming. He's a WBO champion, actually. And he won his fight last night, and against who we got on the phone here? We have Brother Joe. We got Brother Joe from Germantown. Brother Joe from Germantown. What's up, man?
What's up, Chris? How are you and Brother Joe, and how y'all doing today, man?
Well, we doing great, man. We're trying to hold it down. Well. So I know something is. I know you're gonna brag about your Cowboys.
How about the
Cowboys? Oh, I didn't know he's a Cowboys fan.
I can't brag too much, Chris. I'm gonna tell you why. Because the Cowboys, just like the Eagles, neither one of these teams. People don't realize this, Chris and Jordan. Neither the Eagles or the Cowboys have won two games in a row this year.
No, that you know well, that's true. Right. That's true. You're right. Neither one of those teams.
Atlanta. I was going to say this, because they play Atlanta in Atlanta tomorrow, 1 o'clock game. Now, the Cowboys can win that, and then, of course, they come back on Thanksgiving Day and play Washington. Now, they can string together three in a row, then I feel a little bit more confident. But until they prove they can win more than just one game, I got to be a little reserved, Chris and Jordan. I got to be a little reserved.
Right. The Eagles fans will probably tell you the same thing. Mm-hmm. Because let's face something. the Eagles in that game, it kind of felt like the Eagles could not get out of their own way.
True, true.
They could not get out of their own way. And Matt, if you're an Eagles fan, that bothered me just watching your football team.
Right.
And
right, Chris.
And you know, when you can't get, see, that's the thing about sports. Sometimes you can say, yes, your opponent's is outplaying you. Easy to say that. But sometimes you do things you can't, you know, you drop passes, you commit penalties. Sometimes you do beat yourself, and you got to get out of the way of yourself. That's sports. You know, we see that.
No, you're right.
And the Sixers do the same thing. You know, Sixers, even though they won yesterday.
The other night, when they put a 16-point lead against Orlando the other night, that was heartbreaking, man.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler's debut. They should have won that game.
Yeah, they should have won. I mean, and that's been a problem. Mm-hmm. Turnovers killed us. The Sixers gave up, and even though they won last night, they gave up 18 points on turnovers. Mm-hmm. You can't turn the ball over.
And they lucky too, Chris and Jordan, that the Jazz missed a lot of foul shots last night.
Yeah.
The Jazz
would have made that foul shot, the Sixers might have lost last night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so there's some things that there's some flaws within the Sixers that bother me. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see Ben Simmons can still take the ball to the basket. I'll still like him to do that. Yeah. It's just that, you know, what's going to happen when, you know, teams are going to, like, guard the basket. They're going to let him, right. They're going to try to make him. They would rather make him hit a 15-foot jumper.
I also want to see Ben Simmons, whenever he's going fast break, there was this one time where he had an open lane going to the left, but he didn't even take it. He just basically stopped and then tried to pass it out.
Yeah, that was something that was talked about during the post game show last night. Was that you know, sometimes, man, be aggressive to the basket. I mean,
exactly.
Be aggressive, attack. I mean, your whole game is to take the ball to the basket, attack the basket with the least amount of resistance as possible.
Yeah, because if you can take it and the three defenders, then you'll be able to take it once.
Jordan.
You're right, Jordan.
Absolutely.
Do y'all think the Sixers should get Melo?
I don't know. Actually,
I'm gonna talk to Brandon about that. I'm not sure about that, and I'll tell you why.
I got mixed emotions too, Chris.
I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about that, Joe. And I'm gonna tell you why I'm not sure about that. Because I wonder where Melo's head is at this point.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I wonder where. I mean, the fact that he only lasted about a few games with the Houston Rockets tells me the fact that they made him less of an option with the team, and they were bringing up some rookie, tells me that says something. You know, I don't know what Melo's level of desire. And I love Melo. He's a baller. He's a Baltimore kid, and you know, I like him. But where is his head?
Yeah,
where is this guy's head?
Point, Chris. Because look what happened last year. I thought it was going to work out well with OKC. That didn't work out well last year.
No, it did.
So then he coming back with Houston and stuff. So you got to wonder where his head is. Before I sign him, I would definitely like to. If I was Brett Brown and Elton Brand, I would sit down with Melo and talk to him and see where his head is at. See, you know, before I commit to signing him, because you just don't want to sign a guy just for the sake of something. Make sure he's the right fit for you,
right.
Stuff like that. So I would definitely sit down and talk with him first. But you know what? When you was talking to Jordan just now about the players getting along, remember you look at the great Yankees team. You know, Reggie Jackson and Thurman Munson didn't like each other.
Oh, no doubt about that.
Right.
Reggie Jackson when he was the Oakland A's didn't like Billy North, and they fought. They openly fought each other.
That's correct. I remember that, them old A's team back in the 70s.
You're right. Back in the 80s.
So you don't have to like your teammate. You can be professional, go out there on the field or the court and still win championship, not liking each other and stuff. You can still do that. That's been proven. You can do it. But see.
But you'd rather not have that, though.
But you're right. Of course, you'd rather somebody get along and stuff. But see, we live in today's athletes, a lot of them still immature. They can't put personal stuff aside and just go out there and play. Some, you know, they carry on into the thing, onto the field, or to the court. Now, I will say this on the Golden State thing. I told a guy at the deli when I was getting me a sandwich yesterday, I said, I don't think this Draymond Green, Kevin Durant thing going to carry on. I said, because they're a veteran team. I said, whatever difference they're going to settle. I said, by the time playoff time come around, if the Warriors healthy, believe me, Draymond and Durant, them guys can go out there and do what they have to do. They're going to play ball, and they're going to be the end of that. You know what I mean? Because they too much of the veteran team and the coach out there, he ain't going to allow that to be no issue, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
They're going to take care of itself, you know?
Okay.
But you know what? I will say this about the Eagles. I'll say this, Chris, and join me five rows. On the Eagles-Saints game tomorrow, Saints should win the game. But see, one thing about this game tomorrow, and the only way for the Eagles to win tomorrow is that, and that's that old cliche, Chris and Jordan, the Eagles going to have to shorten the game. And what I mean by that, they're going to have to consistently run the football. They got to limit Drew Brees' opportunities on the field.
Okay.
Run it. Sideline, because they could, if Wendell Smallwood and Clemens and Josh Adams could run the football effectively, that means they'll chew up the clock and they'll keep Drew Brees on the sideline. Because the more opportunities Drew Brees get to play and stuff, you know, time of possession, that's going to kill the Eagles. So they got to limit his opportunities by running the football effectively and taking their shots downfield. But make sure you try to keep Drew Brees on the sideline.
Absolutely.
Yep. Run it and score early.
Yeah, score
exactly,
early and keep
it. Exactly, Joe. They can do that. They got a chance because, like I say, on any given Sunday, anything can happen.
Absolutely. Okay.
All right. Take care.
Y'all guys have a nice holiday, man. Y'all take care, and I'll talk to y'all next Saturday.
All right, man.
Thank you, too.
Thank you, Joe. Okay. We have Haria from Ardmore. Haria.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, how are you?
I don't know. I'm getting a little gloomy now. Like,
it's a beautiful day out. Well,
I got a major Eagles Giants indoor tailgate party scheduled November the 25th at the Black Expo at Temple University. I don't want people bringing green eggs. Okay? I don't want to. You know, look, they got to pick it up. That's one of the highlights of my event. And I want everybody to come out, wear your Eagles gears, and bring some luck, you know. But this is the only place that you can come, get your Xmas shopping done, get your gifts wrapped for free, eat, dance, and watch the game.
Next Sunday.
We're starting at 12:30, and I want everybody to turn out and have a good time, you know. And maybe that'll bring the Eagles some luck. You know, I'm going to see what happens tomorrow, you know. But they got to pick it up. I got a lot riding on them.
Well, the thing is, the Eagles, I mean, tomorrow might be their season. Mm-hmm. I mean, tomorrow might be their season, because the issue is that you got to win. The playoffs are coming up. And the thing is, they're way out of it. Do they have a shot? If they go down there and beat the Saints, the Saints are probably due for a bad game. I mean, they've won their share of games.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it might be a trap game.
It's do or die tomorrow, right? The Eagles' backs is all the cliche. Their backs against the wall. They got to do it. They got to go in there. You know, and tomorrow play the Rocky theme. Man, we got to go to break. Thank you very much for the call. We will pick it up with Ron from North Philadelphia, who's coming up next. So you're listening to the Chris Murray Report on WURD Radio, 96.1 FM, 900 AM, WURD, Black Talk Media. We'll be right back.
Real ID is coming. Are you ready? Real ID is a federal requirement that affects how all states issue driver's licenses and ID cards. After October 1, 2020, you will need a Real ID or another TSA-approved form of ID to board all flights or enter federal facilities that require ID. Real IDs will be available in spring 2019, but you can pre-verify now. It's easy. Learn how at penn.gov/realid. Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
Feel confident about your Medicare with Keystone 65 Basic Rx HMO. You'll have $0 premium, $0 copay, and $0 deductible, plus access to the largest network of doctors and hospitals in the region. Get the coverage you deserve with Independence Blue Cross. Visit IBXMedicare.com.
Keystone 65 offers HMO plans with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in Keystone 65 Medicare Advantage plans depends on contract renewal. Benefits underwritten by Keystone Health Plan East, a subsidiary of Independence Blue Cross, independent licensees of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
Join Pastor Waller for the All of Me pre-holiday jazz brunch at the new and fabulous Grand Ballroom Philadelphia, located at 3801 Market Street, November 24th at 12:30 p.m. Enjoy gospel, jazz, R&B, and holiday music while sampling an endless buffet. Proceeds to benefit Men Who Care of Germantown Incorporated. Tickets are $50. Discounted parking across the street. For tickets and more information, call 215-387-3550.
Looking for a delicious Sunday brunch? Enjoy an all-you-can-eat feast at Brown's ShopRite Island Avenue from 1 till 4 p.m. Delight in the buffet of delicious food each Sunday for only $15.99. Enjoy live entertainment, watch the games on the big screen, and remember, kids under 3 eat free. This weekly event will offer a variety of delicious food from the hot bar and the wok. If you're not full the first time, don't worry. Have all you can eat while enjoying the company of others. Sundays from 1 to 4 at Brown's ShopRite of Island Avenue.
Firm and young with a laid-back tongue. The aim is to succeed and achieve at 21. Just like Ringling Brothers, our days in astound. Captivate the mass cause the pros is profound. Do it for the strong.
We do it for the meat. I'm not gonna show my rapping skills today. Now, before we went, now we got Ron on the line with us, and before we get to him, one thing I wanted to say before we get to Ron. Last night Maurice Hooker beat Alex Acedo down in his hometown, Oklahoma City, knocked him out seventh round, or the fight was stopped in the seventh round. It was a heck of a fight. Sacedo knocked down Maurice Hooker with an overhand right in the second round. And one of the things I'm looking at, Maurice Hooker, is he's a WBO junior welterweight champion. The one flaw I saw in that kid's game, watching, because I like to talk about boxing, was, you know, sometimes Hooker has that habit, kind of remind me of Tommy Hearns, of leaving that left down too low. After he got knocked down, he kept that left up. And, you know, sometimes it reminds me of those old Kronk fighters like Tommy Hearns, Hilmer Kinte, who all had a tendency to keep that left down a little bit too low. And they all got, all those Kronk fighters, if you remember, Milton McCrory, all those guys ended up getting knocked out because of that. It was just this peculiar habit that those guys had. So, okay, we got Ron from North Philadelphia with us. Ron, what's up?
How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing okay, Ron. How are you?
Hey, Chris, are you familiar with me, the guy that do the basketball games in North Philadelphia? Ron from Somerset Street, 16th Street, and all them, Mike Anderson, et cetera, Gail and Baker, Lewis Lloyd. I just did something with Lewis Lloyd 4 weeks ago. And everybody know me. I've been, me and Sonny Hill and always come up, and I've been doing the play-by-play in North Philadelphia, all throughout North Philadelphia. Matter of fact, Kilgore that just passed away from Temple, all of them played over in the 1400 block over Broad Street at the Y.
Right.
And I'm not saying to give myself a name, but I don't know if you're familiar with me, are you?
Not really. I mean, like I said, really. I may have heard of
you. Rovell Davis, Galen Baker that played the Globetrotters. Rovell Davis came and took me around the world in reference to when he signed with the Houston Rockets. And so I'm just giving different names. Me and Lewis Lloyd gave a history of the, and I always tell the people as I do the play-by-play, and I've certainly met so many people in this life, Lloyd Free and all of them people, and I remind them as I do the summer games and people like me to do that, and I say everyone that have, even yourself, I heard you mention, anyone that have contributed in basketball in Philadelphia, high school, junior high, whatever, they are part of the Mecca basketball that we have here in Philadelphia.
No doubt.
And I'm saying that the things I have seen through the year. Roy Massimina in 1980, I had a chance to interview you. Do you remember a ball player called Mark Stevenson?
Yeah, I'm vaguely.
Mark, his father, Jack Stevenson, was a blade with the Globetrotters. He went to Edison.
Uh-huh.
But we have so many. Ron Murray, I had him, and he's a little good boy and all that. So I'm saying to you, when I hear you give the history out of our basketball, and I'm 75 years of age, and we have did so much through our basketball programs here in North Philadelphia, especially 8th and Diamond. A lot of times you hear a lot of stories about negativity. Matter of fact, Ann McKee's grandmother, I lived on 11th Street, and Ann McKee's grandmother lived on Durian Street around the corner. So I'm just using those names. There have been so many people that have come out of North Philadelphia, and I remember when I was learning that, like fight trophies. And they said that ball players at that time, because of West Philadelphia Chamberlain them, they would say most of all your best ball players came from West Philadelphia. And we played a disclaimer to that. Ball players have been universal, they have been citywide, and we have certainly made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
My reason for calling today, I am certainly, when I say against it, it's just my opinion, and I put it in the opinion, Ball. When I hear ball players like the one you're talking about today, chances that he wants to go to the Los Angeles Lakers, I think it does it. When you just try to consolidate one team to be a great team, instead of saying in your team and, you know, I know some money and all like that, it makes the league that much stronger.
Right.
Because I just have a problem with that. You did some boxing, I heard you say.
Well, I didn't know. I was just talking about a boxing match. I mean, I'm not in the ring, not me.
Okay. Well, we had fighters that came. But you remember Tyrone Evans, Johnny Hutchinson, so many come out. So my point is this. My point is this. Now I'm 75 now. Mm-hmm. So I'm boxing out of enunciation. Matter of fact, me and Dr. Lomax had a little poke out when he was living, you know, because Doc was from South Philadelphia. So I'm 16, right, Chris? So mm-hmm. My boy set me up there. Said, look, Ryan, we got $100 better when you champ. Said, knock that old man out. Said, but Ryan, watch his left hand. Said, watch that left, Ryan. Said, watch his left. He got a terrible left hand. He said, don't forget the $100 we got better when you, Ryan. Chris, but they didn't tell me they betted $400 on the other guy, Chris. So when I stepped out, Chris, but I stepped, they said, stick him, champ. He can't touch you, Ryan. I shot a left out, right? Something say, boom. I said, what happened? They said, man, you would knock that old owl go. He hit you with a right hand, Ryan. Hey, Chris, when we look at the, when we did Clark Gross homegoing service, and we all did it, we came there and did it, and I just want to thank the Almighty God for the New York, the Philly, and if you can answer this, Wally Jones couldn't even give me the answer on this, and I asked Wally the one time, it came this name. Who was the first guy that brought the moves that Elgin Baylor, Connie Hawkins, you remember before it was Basie, Fundamental Basketball, Bob Cousy, and it was Guy Roger that took it to another level. But who was the first guy that brought those, that lateral movement, once you get up in the air, you would go to your left, you would go to your right? Who was the first guy brought that in the NBA? Do you know?
I would like to say Earl Monroe.
No. The guy's name was Maury Stokes.
Maury Stokes, yes, who played Cincinnati Royals. Yes.
In aneurysm, it was Jack Twyman took care of him.
Okay.
But Maurice was the first guy. Connie Hawkins, they came later. But Elgin Baylor, he was a Carnation Milk baby back in the day. But we have had so many athletes that have given so much to our the athletics in Philadelphia and many fashion. So I hope that your sports show continue to grow, man. And guess what they used to call me back in the day when I used to shoot my jumper? Matter of fact, I shot 52 points in there. Anybody that's listening, Ryan shot 52 on Fred Carter.
On Fred Carter?
Yes, sir. In the Francisville League. That 17th and Brown, Mike Jordan, all them over there. And I said, guess what the girl used to call me when I put the ball down?
What is that?
They interviewed me, you know, before they had the video. They said, Mr. Ryan, do you have one wish? I said, yeah. And I said, I wish I could shoot the ball, jump on the side, look at myself, then jump back in the game. Well, of course, it was impossible to
do. That's like Ali saying.
I only get some calls in. Hey, Chris, I'm some kind of bad. You better guess what? Now, once I seen you play, guess what name I would probably call you?
What?
If you played a point guard and you had those good movements, guess what I would tell the ladies your name was?
What?
Lawa.
Live. Hey, on that note, Ron.
Thank you, man. Yes,
I appreciate
you,
your
man.
Call. Okay, we got on the line with us my man Jack McCaffrey from the Delaware County Times, who covers Eagles and Phillies and knows where all the bones are hidden and all that. So from that standpoint, Jack, welcome here today, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, Chris. What's happening?
Well, you and I both witnessed the game Sunday. We were in the press box. We watched the game Sunday. I'm still trying to figure out what happened with this Eagles team. What, I mean, the first half, they couldn't get out of the way of themselves. And the second half, they waited too late to turn it on. From your perspective, is this season over, especially if they lose tomorrow in New Orleans?
Well, I would put it that way. Yeah, if they lose tomorrow in New Orleans, it's really going to be a handful at that point. So you go into New Orleans, you give it a shot. they've got so many injuries on defense, it's almost impossible for them to stop somebody. You saw the way the Cowboys were able to move on them. Whenever the Eagles tied the game, the Cowboys just at will went down and scored. Prescott and Elliott, these guys are just moving the ball on it. Because the Eagles have so many injuries in the secondary. And even in the, on the offense, you're talking about they're making do with running backs who were originally cut. You're talking about a team like that. It's been a lot of injuries this year. Is their season over? No. But it's to the point now where either Wentz is going to resurrect it or he's not. It's pretty much down to you have to hope that this guy is as great as everybody thought he was and he can single-handedly try to get them there. But it's not looking good, as you know, Chris.
Right. You know, an article by our buddy Joe Sanliquido that was doubting Wentz's ability. I still somewhat disagree with it, but, you know, they had a couple of opportunities to tie that game. And, you know, it didn't necessarily come through. Now, am I reaching? Was that all Wentz's fault, or was this just a combination of things, play calling or whatever?
A little bit. If quarterbacks are going to take the highest salary, and quarterbacks are going to get all the commercials, and quarterbacks are going to be judged on how they lead game-winning drives, whether that's fair or not, then they're also going to be judged by did they lead that game-winning drive. The Eagles had two possessions down the stretch, and they didn't have the game-winning drive. So, fair, yeah, that's the way the rules are, and this is what Wentz signed up for. And he didn't do it in that particular game. We're talking about a guy, I don't know, I'm just going to come up with a number. How many games has he played in his career? 20, maybe?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're not going to tell me he can't lead game-winning drives. He's had a couple of game-winning drives, fourth-quarter drives. He certainly put on two scoring drives in the fourth quarter against the Cowboys. But is it fair? And I'm not telling tales out of school because I talked to Joe as well, and he put it out there on Twitter. Joe calls him three quarters Carson, right? Isn't that what his thing for? So he put it out there. He calls him three quarters Carson, and Carson's good for three quarters, but not for the fourth. Is that fair? Yeah, it's fair because that's the way the game's played in the NFL. If you're the quarterback, that's the kind of criticism you're going to get if you don't win.
Right. Right.
That's what I look at. I don't know. How do you look at it?
Well, I see it like this. I mean, to me, he's too young in his career to make that kind of assessment. A lot of times, guys start off, you know, slow. Sometimes guys learn to win under those circumstances. Is it the way things are now? Okay, you can say that. I still say that this guy still has a lot to learn in the game. I mean, I know he's 3 years into it, and we expect guys. I mean, I remember one thing. Vince Young had a great record in coming back from behind, and he sees eye of the league today. For whatever reason, Vince Young is out of the league. But still, I mean, I don't know if you can make that pronouncement, you know, at this stage of his career. I mean, he got hurt last year. Certainly he was a heck of a quarterback last year. And I think he's starting to come back to that form. But there are other issues. Lane Johnson was out. I mean, you got guys like Lane Johnson who were out. You got Jalen Mills, and then, you know, we don't know if Darren Sproles was ever going to come back. You know, that's the thing. And so the Eagles this year, that seems to be the difference, because last year they had injuries. Jordan Hicks was out. Guys seem to fill the void. Not this year. And I'm wondering, is that just... Is this catching up to them now? I mean, these injuries are finally catching up, because it catches up to every team at some point.
I look at it as two different situations, Chris, and this is the way I looked at last year. Yes, the story of the 2017-18 Eagles is going to be how it was next man up. They lost players, but when you think of what they lost. They lost a quarterback and replaced them with a good quarterback. They lost running back, and then they replaced him with Ajayi. They lost Jason Peters, then they replaced him with Big B. Like, it was surface. You take the surface off of the first string, and you dip a little bit into the second string, and it was the next man up. That's not the way it is in the secondary this year, or even in the running backs. The secondary is three, four, five guys injured. Like, and now you're going way into your depth chart. You're going into guy, and you're going into guys that were on the practice squad earlier. You're talking about the running back situation. You expected Ajayi and Sproles. Instead, you have Adams, who was cut before the season started, and Clement and Smallwood. Now, every losing or average football team in the history of the NFL has had Adams, Smallwood, and Clement, right?
That's, right.
Everybody's got guys like that.
Right.
Ajayi and Sproles are a cut above. They're guys that are stars. And they they don't have any star running backs.
Right.
And they don't have any, and their secondary is just decimated. It's not scratched where you can just put the next guy in and say, okay, it's next man up. It's not next man up, then next man, then next man, then next man. That's when it becomes a boulder on your shoulder, and it's tough to get over that.
And they're going against Drew Brees, who they're a Super Bowl contender right now. Let's be honest. I mean, they got Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas. You got they could put me in that lineup, and I can catch a pass.
But, I know you can.
especially if there's a cheeseburger in the end zone, I'll get there and get it. But the thing is though that offensive has been prolific. So for some reason, I think the Eagles might still come back in the division. Because are you impressed with the Washington Redskins or the Cowboys or the Giants? I mean, especially the Redskins are 6-3 in first place. I'm not impressed by them.
No. No one is, no one is going to be. It's a very balanced, average, mediocre division. The only trouble is that you have to go ahead and win it. And they're already for whatever reason, They're already two games behind with seven to play, right?
Right.
Seven to play. If that's a baseball standings, they're starting to put the magic number in the paper every day, right?
Right.
So it's going to be. Yeah, I don't think the Redskins are much better than the Eagles, but darn it, that's what the record is. They've got to somehow make up two games in the next seven. I'll tell you what, you better beat the Redskins twice.
Yeah, that's true. And you better get the Cowboys again on the road, and then you have to play the Giants, and the Giants are now claiming that, oh no, the Giants are awful. Let me stop that.
Eli Manning will lose to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Eli Manning loses to the Eagles.
Yeah, that's true.
3-14 or 2-14 or something in his career. He looks at the Eagles and he just wilts.
Yes, he does.
I'm going to go ahead and declare that a win. I was impressed with the Cowboys. I certainly was impressed by the Cowboys last week.
Yeah.
Elliott looked tremendous.
Yeah. And so, yeah, they had to stop the run. But I'm gonna ask you some more stuff, and then I'm gonna take more of a long term look at the Sixers. But you know, we gotta go to break. So hang in there with me. You're listening to 96.1 FM, 900 AM WURD. The Chris Murray Report will be right back.
Open enrollment for individual health insurance ends December 15th. This year, you may have more choices, and if you're battling addiction, make sure you buy a plan that guarantees coverage for substance use disorder, mental health, prescriptions, and pre-existing conditions. If you want to learn more about health insurance, need help signing up, or have questions about financial assistance, visit insurance.pa.gov.
Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars. Looking for addiction resources? Call 1-800-662-HELP to reach PA Get Help Now.
Hey Philly, the storm is over, but if you had tickets to the Thursday night's Universe Soul Circus, we still want to see you under the big top. Just log on to universalsoulcircus.com/Philly for exchange details and come warm up under the big top.
William Fagans here of Divine Insurance Group and host of the Word on Word every third Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. with my brother Brian Fagans, public adjuster. Tune in to hear more about the benefits of having insurance and how public adjusters get the most from your insurance claims.
Membership has its privileges.
Get your four-word member exclusive for Yanla Van Zandt's special presentation at the Word Empowerment Experience on December 1st. Four-word members get a 50% discount on these tickets. That's only $10. If you're not a member, you can start or renew by going to wordradio.com or call 215-425-7875. Sign up today so you can take advantage of this special early bird member rate. Prices change after November 23rd.
Support independent Black media. Join the four-word movement today.
Real ID is coming. Are you ready? Real ID is a federal requirement that affects how all states issue driver's licenses and ID cards. After October 1, 2020, you will need a Real ID or another TSA-approved form of ID to board all flights or enter federal facilities that require ID. Real IDs will be available in spring 2019, but you can pre-verify now. It's easy. Learn how at penndot.gov/realid. Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
Now see, if I were playing for the Philadelphia Phillies, this would be my come up. You know, we go batting third, Chris Murray. And I'd be playing that. Just walk up to the thing. So anyway, Jack, so let me tell you. Now, one thing I did notice as a good point from the game, I like Josh Adams. I like the kid from Central Bucks South. I hope I got that right. The kid from Central Bucks South. He's running the ball well, even though, like I said, he's not a superstar or anything, but I just like the way he's running the football. And I read just one article, I think it was either one of the newspapers, is saying that that he ought to be the feature back. What do you think of Josh Adams? Is he just the guy, or is he just the guy for the Eagles at this moment? What do you think of him?
I'll say he's just a guy with a good opportunity here, and he certainly has the ability. Notre Dame, right?
Right.
So I mean, he's talking about a guy that's got a pedigree, and you know he's and you're right. He looked really good against the Cowboys, and he's got a wonderful opportunity. I've spoken to him in the locker room before. He seems to have the right perspective on things, and this is how it's done. Here you go, man. You got an opportunity. Go for it. The only thing I was saying earlier, I wasn't trying to put the guy down. I'm just saying that to this point, he's just an average player when you were expecting a Jai and Spoles.
Right.
He hasn't had the accomplishments of those guys. These guys have been Pro Bowl players and 1,000-yard rushers.
Right.
If you like him, I like him. He's got a great opportunity here.
Yeah.
Guess what? I just threw it on Wentz. I said, if they're going to make the playoffs, Wentz is going to carry them there. You know what? Maybe Adams carries them there.
Yeah.
Or maybe Golden Tate or somebody else. But yeah. It's time for somebody to start carrying them there.
Yeah. That's interesting you say that, because somebody on that team, whether it's a defensive player, I thought last year the defense, you know, defense, Malcolm Jenkins and those guys carried the Eagles last year. I thought that was something that, you know, that also said, because we talked about, you know, Carson Wentz and the offense, but I thought the defense, when last year when Jordan Hicks stepped down, what's his name, Nigel Bradham just was all over the place. And I'm not seeing that from guys in the defense. It's like, I think Michael Bennett was pretty vocal about it. He's starting to say, yeah, look, we got to get it in gear. And I think that, you know, from the defensive end, I think those guys need to step up as well.
They do, and some of it might have to do with, I mean, it just, as you know, Chris, what we do in our job is we just go and listen.
You
don't listen long enough. What I listen between the lines from Doug Peterson is that maybe teams are game planning a little bit more specific for the Eagles than they did for the past.
Right.
To paraphrase what he's saying, he says, when you're the Super Bowl champions, you're going to get everybody's best. You're going to get everybody's attention. You're going to get... So, not that the Eagles snuck up on anybody last year, but it was kind of a pop-up Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Nobody really saw that coming. They're not getting away with anything this year.
No.
So, it might have a little bit to do with that. Could be a little bit to do with Super Bowl hangover. Just, you know, hey, we've won it. That was 57 years between championships. what an exhale at that point. Maybe it's difficult to get it back. And it was funny how you mentioned that the defense was great last year, because it was. You know what else was good? The offense was.
Right.
They were winning games, I don't know, I don't have it in front of me, 38-10 and 45-12 and 39-16. So the offense always had a the defense was making it easy for the offense, and the offense was making it easy for the defense, and it really snowballed. And neither one is playing well this year. Yeah. Maybe it has something to do with those assistant coaches he lost on the offensive side. I don't know. But I think I really believe it comes down to you're getting every team's best.
Right. And you've been hurt. And like I said, you're right. They snuck up on people last year. I'll just call it what it is. They snuck up on people last year. I mean, they snuck up on teams last year. And you got to say that, you know, when you're on the line and people are playing you, you gotta be there, because and they knew that coming into the season. Because I don't think these guys were victims of the banquet circuit or anything like that. I don't think that's that kind of team. But you know, but then again, they've had the injuries have slowed these guys down. Now they're getting. Now he has to. Wentz has to get. Golden Tate into the mix, and so they still haven't had that game where they've played all four quarters of games. You know, they'll play a great first half, or a great three quarters of the game, as they did against Carolina, or they'll play a poor first half and then have to play catch up in the second half.
Yeah. They've not put together. And another thing that is going to hurt them long term is that they did have a couple of chances to win.
Right.
Close games. Right. An overtime game was thrown in there, then they lose one. So, the NFL season is so short that division is so balanced. If you have a couple of coin flip games that go against you, wow, that's tough to overcome in such a balanced league. So they're in a tough spot right now.
Right,
it's seven games to go. Let's see what happens. Somewhere in my gut says maybe they're due for, like what you just said, a put it all together game in New Orleans, but I'll tell you why I can't go that way. I can't go that way because New Orleans was furious that they weren't in the Super Bowl last year. They really thought that they had the best team in the NFC. And they really want to show the Eagles that tomorrow. I really believe the Eagles are heading into a hornet's nest there.
Oh, wow.
For a team that wants, and the line reflects it. 9, 8.5, 8, 9. That's a lot of points.
Wow.
Against a Super Bowl champion, and my guess is that it's revenge to the extent that the Saints knew that they were the best team in the NFC last year, and it just crawled under their skin that the Eagles not only went to the Super Bowl, but they wound up winning it.
Right.
And my guess is that they're just going to want to beat the Eagles bad tomorrow.
Right. So before we change gears and talk about the Sixers, your prediction, what's the final score in that game tomorrow?
Cover the 9. Yeah, I mean, at that point, you got to go over the 9. So 30-20?
30-20.
Yeah, 33-23.
Okay.
In there.
I think it's going to be a close game, but the Saints win something like 35-24. So you're right in that area.
Yeah, I think they'll cover that 9.
Okay. Last week, before we went off the air, we had of course the breaking story that Jimmy Butler was traded to the Sixers. Now, last night's game, you know, I saw bits and pieces of last night's game. Butler scores 28.7 assists. How does Butler help this team long term? Because I mean, the Sixers still have some issues that I want to talk about. But how does Butler help this team long term?
Pretty much on every aspect of the court. He's an all defensive player. Of course, they lost one in Robert Covington in the transaction, but that's beside him. He's an all defensive player, so he can really lock you down, and he can score in a lot of ways. And if you're going to start Simmons, well, then that's one non-shooter is enough. That's plenty. That's the maximum. So you start him, and Simmons is a great player, a unique talent, as somebody you have to have out there. But other than that, you now have to really have other scorers with him, and Butler can score. Now you have Butler, Embiid, Redick. You got guys who can really score around Simmons, and that makes them great. So it makes them it makes them much better at both ends of the court, right. Much better.
I was thinking as I watched the Celtics last night, Kyrie Irving had something like 43 points and 11 assists. That Boston team is, I mean, how do you think they would stack up against Boston? Although right now the best team in the Eastern Conference is the Toronto Raptors, and they beat Toronto. Boston beat Toronto last night. But can you look at the Sixers now and say they'll be at least in the Eastern Conference Finals, or do they still have to add some pieces?
They could probably add one more piece, and they will. Elton Brand pretty much said that this week. They're going to have opportunities to add another veteran. So you're looking at one more veteran, kind of not unlike what they did last year with Ilyasova and Bellinelli around the deadline. Still a little older, another scorer, one more body for the stretch run. Prior to the Butler trade, you said, listen, no matter what happens, they're not going to be as good as those other two teams. With Butler, you say they're absolutely on the same plane as those teams. Now go ahead and compete. And what's going to happen is those last two or three weeks of the season is going to be very interesting, jockeying for home court.
Right.
Trying to get that home court, because it could be that much narrow a difference. So, yeah, they're going to be no more excuses. There's no more experiments, no more processes, no more nothing. This is it. You've got your three-prong all-star nucleus. You fit them with some pretty decent veterans in Muscala, Chandler, Redick. You got those guys surrounding them. You got Amir Johnson. So you've got a representative playoff team, very capable of making the Final Four.
Right.
Very capable, if not further. That's it. No more excuses.
Right. So in that regard, because, you know, as I peruse social media, a lot of people are saying that this is somehow a referendum on Brett Brown as a coach. You know, in other words, people are saying, now you got these pieces, Brett, can you deliver? Is this a referendum on Coach Brett Brown, or is that fair to put that on him?
Mm-hmm. I think it's very fair. It is. And it was also very fair of the Sixers to show him great patience. As Brett said, he said, we've led an interesting life. It was something it's never been seen in sports to any extent that the Sixers did it, where they actively lost games for a long time, so that he was never judged by his record. Even when they promoted Elton Brand to general manager, Josh Harris made it clear that the head coach reports to me and the general manager reports to me. So in other words, there's no... The Sixers organization did the right thing for Brett Brown to not put him in any kind of peril. However, it is now time. It's the major leagues. You're no more excuses for the players, and there's no more excuses for Brett Brown. Now, what would be a legitimate? Do I think he's on the hot seat? I wouldn't think. He won 52 last year.
No, he's not on the hot seat.
Yeah, but it's time to he better win at least one playoff round, and that's not going to make people happy. If he wins two playoff rounds, it'll make people happy, and then by the following year, you pretty much have to be in the finals. I said this early in the process, and I wasn't a process guy. I think it's unprofessional, right, undignified, and everything else. But, all right, at the same time, I wasn't a process guy, but I said, okay, this is what they're doing. Here's how we're going to keep the score. At some point, I said that they're going to have to, 4 out of 5 years, be in the Final Four, the Final Two, and at some point, compete very hard for a championship. I never put a championship obligation on any team, because at that point, the other team can make a foul shot, you can get an injury, the referee can make a bad call. But I'll tell you what, you gave me those 5 years of absolute garbage, then you owe me, talk of me as, you know, general, you owe me several long runs into the playoffs. And that means the finals, and that means on a regular basis, not unlike going back into ancient history, the Sixers of like late 70s, early 80s.
Right.
Always there.
Right.
And even though they weren't winning it, nobody really complained a whole lot about it because they were always there.
Right.
And that's what the obligation for the process is. And if Brett Brown is the personification of that process, then it's absolutely fair to throw him out there and say, "Hey, Brett, we looked the other way when you were going 10 and 72, but we're not going to look the other way if you can't get us to the final four, the final two, if not the final one." It's completely fair. And what do I think? I think he's going to do fine. I think he's a great coach. I think he's a brilliant basketball mind, and I've got no doubt that he'll be able to do that. But you know what? Go ahead and do it.
Okay.
Do what you have.
On that note, Jack, I gotta say, as always, thank you. We gotta bring our whole press box crew down here at one point. We have a good time.
If we just put a microphone at our Eagles table and just put that up there, it set ratings records.
No doubt.
With me, you, Daryl Bell, Donald Hunt, Joe Santaliquido, Rob Parent. How would you like to listen to that conversation on the air? That would be a show. But you do a great show by yourself. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you, Jack. Okay, we're listening to 96.1 FM, 900 AM WURD, Black Talk Media.